yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
You're listening to Warren and Al on Canada Talks.
Well, I got to tell you something, Al.
What's that, Ward?
One of the reasons that Howard Stern has been so successful all these years is the same reason that Ward and Al is so successful now.
I don't know.
Good branding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
That's what it is, man.
Yeah.
When you think of Ward and Al, you think brand.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I have a lot... I'm very confused about branding.
Well, that's why it's lucky that we have the guest with us that we have now.
I know he's gonna. I have a feeling that he's gonna give us a lot of advice in a lot of areas, including maybe how to comport yourself this holiday season. But my first question will be about branding.
Well, he is a personal branding and business relationship expert.
Perfect.
Please welcome Evan Thompson.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. It is we live in a confusing time.
Yeah.
Because everyone talks about their brands all the time. And we talk about our brand, and sometimes they'll be like, well, that's part of our brand. But I don't actually know what I'm talking about. I just know I'm supposed to say brand here. And I was just before we got on air asking you to explain branding to me. As a person, does every person have a brand?
They certainly do. As long as they're interacting with other people, they have a brand. They have a story, they have a position, they have a view. So most certainly they have brands.
So how exactly, that's how you would define a personal brand, is your position and your views and...
And how it brings you closer to other people by earning their trust.
Okay, so if it puts people off, is that a bad brand or is that not a brand?
It's a bad brand.
Okay.
Simply because you're associated with a place they don't want to go. They don't want to hang out with you. They don't want to chat with you. And they certainly don't want to give you business if they don't value your brand.
See, I'm not joking. This actually, just these few phrases and the way you put it, honestly gives me such a better understanding of it. Because like vaguely, I know, and Ward and I have a show, and then together we have a brand, and that's the, but it's a modern thing, right?
It's extremely modern, you know, with the advent of social media, everyone's discovered branding. And what used to be associated with cattle, but no more. This is the way you walk and talk, but most importantly, how you deliver on what you promise, whether you're on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, you present yourself in a certain way.
Yeah.
And then the moment of truth comes when you're face to face as we are here. And maybe I'm building trust with you. I certainly hope so. You're building trust with me because we're face to face and we're talking about our brands.
Well, I get branding more now, so I already trust you a little bit. You did a good explain. I can't even speak English today. You did a good job explaining it.
That's part of our brand.
Yeah, part of our brand is that sometimes we forget how to speak the only language we speak.
Yeah.
How much is your business working on personal branding? Because you are the founder of Evan Thompson and Associates.
Yes.
See what you did with the name. And
is that a coincidence?
Yeah.
Was it already named that when you came on board?
It had its beginnings some years ago, like 30 years ago.
And so how much has it changed then? Because with things like technology and social media and personal branding, what exactly do you do and how has it changed in the last few years?
What I do essentially is work with business professionals and business owners. It could be accountants, financial advisors, lawyers, owners of retail stores. And I help them articulate their value to their customers and to their clients.
Right.
So my gig really is advanced business etiquette and communications. Mm. So I work in the written word and I work in the printed word. So that when someone's speaking in a public place, presentation, when people go to their website, it matches up.
Right. Okay, business etiquette. Like, for instance, if you're the boss of several people in a communications company and you walk around, you say things like, you know, that Donald Trump's got a point.
That's bad branding, right?
Bad business
bad
etiquette.
Bad personal branding?
Bad business etiquette.
Yes, and potentially injurious to your health, depending on whom, you know, with whom you're speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just checking.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Etiquette is actually a word that doesn't get thrown around a lot anymore.
I hate the word. Etiquette to me really sounds like white gloves looking for dust particles on old furniture in an old broken down house in
Bring
Rosedale.
It on, says this guy.
Yeah.
But it's the only way to really describe the whole interaction. Etiquette right. is not looking for dust and wondering if someone's behaving correctly. It's about figuring out if they're making others comfortable or uncomfortable.
Right.
If you think of a pack of dogs, they have a code. They have etiquette.
Right.
And humans are no different. And mm-hmm. if you try and crack that code, you can be in big trouble.
That's interesting because I think whether you're, you know, a solitary person in business mm-hmm. or a group, self-awareness is so important and something that I think a lot of people have a hard time with. We have a hard time seeing how other people see us, right? And I can imagine that would also sometimes be really hard for a business because you're inside it.
Exactly. And we, many of us, myself included, have a fixed perception mm-hmm. of how others see us, which is usually not the case. We have a preconceived notion of how we appear.
Yeah.
So the
Suave,
challenge.
Handsome, charming.
All that.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is get over ourselves.
Oh, that was directed at you.
Nice attire, by the way.
Thank
that's
you.
Very, very natty. Yeah,
thank you very
like
much.
Like that. Yeah. That's personal branding to the nth degree. It's not over the top. It says he's doing well, but not too well.
Right. No, he... Like,
no Ward, intimidation.
Ward has a very... I think you're very brand specific when it comes to yourself because Ward has a very distinctive way of dressing. It's... what's the opposite of casual?
Upscale casual.
It's... But it's... Yeah, I was going to say it's more... The rest of us tend to be less casual, especially we're both in entertainment. Like, we don't... There's no dress code, so most of us are like jeans and a t-shirt, and Ward's like, but I'll just put on a blazer. So he has a very distinctive style that people, when they see him, even if they couldn't see his face, they'd be like, oh, that's Ward over there. You know what I mean? Because you dress differently. He has a pocket square.
Well, that speaks volumes. You know, you don't dress for your audience all the time. You maintain mm-hmm. your sort of personal style, which is part of personal branding. But the devil's in the details. And that pocket square will make an impression on people and they'll remember Ward not only for his eloquence on the airwaves, but also the care that he takes and the way he gets his act together in the morning.
Thank you, Evan.
Okay, Welcome. So I, for sure, as is evidenced by the fact that I'm wearing leggings and a sweatshirt dress, I do not have get myself together in the morning. So... Like, I'm worried sometimes my personal brand comes across as slightly shabby. How much should I worry about that?
No, I think it comes off as casual and cool.
It's really knowing oneself and what you're comfortable in and how it makes you feel. Would you be at the top of your game sitting across from me and Ward in a tiara and a ball gown? Doing what you do, talking about this now?
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. No, I would not. I would be very upset and angry, and I probably wouldn't want to talk.
And the fact really is that people can tell if you're comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
And if you profess to be a leader or a public speaker, you better look comfortable in that sports jacket and not be sort of wondering, is it wowing at the chest? Is it too tight? Are the buttons ready to fly off?
Right.
It's an issue I sometimes have, to be honest.
It happens.
Got to get over the wardrobe, but you have to take care.
But right. I also think, you know, there's something to be said about the fact that the way I look, right, you compliment that. Like, that's part of our brand, is that I'm the one in the blazer,
right,
and you're the more casual one. So our brand is the
mixture.
You're
snooty, I'm cool.
Right. It's the combination of the two.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask, because talking about business etiquette.
Yeah.
We're in a time of year right now where a lot of people get fired because maybe you go to the work party and there's an open bar. And then you finally take that opportunity to tell that guy in HR that you really hate him, and then you're in trouble.
Or maybe you're like, hey, did you bring enough breasts for the rest of the class to that girl that you've been wanting to say that to?
Has anyone ever said that?
Much worse.
Oh, really?
Alcohol can be the great liberator, but it can also be the great destroyer.
Yeah.
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 I know it.
And in conversations I've had, with others in the media, with clients, with friends, they all point to alcohol as the big threat come holiday time. And I'm not here to say everyone needs to go on the wagon. I enjoy in moderation because it really does add to the levity.
Sure. But I think especially at work functions or at functions where you need to impress people, or there are people that could potentially take their business away from you, you know, err on the side of caution. Err on the less is more in those scenarios.
Exactly. And have something to eat before you go to the party.
Yeah.
For two reasons. If you have a refreshment, mm-hmm, it's not going to go right to your head and knock you flying. Mm-hmm. It's funny how alcohol can impact people who are really nervous. They start talking too fast.
Yeah.
They slur their words and then they fall down. Mm-hmm. I've seen it many times.
Yeah. The other thing to do is to, after every drink, have a tall glass of water.
Oh, yeah. Balance.
Right? So it's every other. So you have a drink, then a tall glass of water, then drink, then tall glass of water. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes very good sense. And that really does work.
Mm-hmm. Then you're still socially drinking.
Yes.
Right? But
toning it down.
Yeah.
Tone it down.
Yep.
Because really, especially at a company event, mm-hmm, you don't want to go in with fire and brimstone and be refusing, you know, the boss's offer to have a cold one. You know, let's celebrate. We've had a good month. We've made our numbers. And you say, oh, no, I don't. No, not for me. Unless there's a really good reason for you not to drink.
Yeah.
You could say you're allergic. That's probably the best out. You can take a little
sorry,
bit.
Sorry, I'm allergic to alcohol. It makes me break out in handcuffs.
Old school jokes. If you're in recovery, just say, "Oh, have a club soda."
Well, you know, depending on who you're speaking with and how well you know them, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that.
Yeah.
And then they back right off, but they still include you.
Yes.
If they think that you're trying to be a little hoity-toity, a little bit above them.
Oh, I don't drink because I'm better than you.
I respect my body.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
those
you
people
know,
are the worst.
And
just who say that about,
I wasn't saying I do.
No,
but you don't want to be saying I respect my body
in that
as someone's launching into their fourth double scotch.
Yeah. You don't want to imply that they don't and you do.
Precisely.
What are some other mistakes people make at holiday parties? Because booze, obviously, number one. I'm assuming.
Yes, the demon alcohol, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another missed opportunity is congregating with people that you know that you work with and not hanging out with people from other departments or other divisions, whether they're on the other side of the building or the other side of the country.
Right. So you should
don't
mix. Just hang out with the people you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I call that the safe haven syndrome.
I live in the safe haven. We had our company Christmas party on Thursday, and I did not speak to anyone I didn't know. Except for that one guy you introduced me to, Dwayne.
Yeah.
But other than that, Ward talks to strangers I don't. So I make it sound like a safety issue, but like when we go to parties or events where we're appear like together, Ward is the one that introduces himself to people and can chit chat with people he doesn't know, and then he'll bring me in. I am much more socially awkward, so I'm like, do I know you? I'm gonna run away. No.
Well, what's weird is that's actually how she introduces herself.
Yeah. Yes.
Did a number of people know of you? Do they know of your personal brand?
Yes.
Probably.
So there's your in.
But what if they don't care?
You start asking them about themselves.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know about you, says you.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I'm in public settings, I'm a little nervous, which would probably surprise you because I'm on the radio and I have great confidence on air. Sometimes I'm a little shy. Are you like that at all? Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh.
And then they'll say, yes, throwing back another drink or not. Yeah. They'll say, yes.
Okay.
Thanks for your honesty. And how do you work that? How do you get around that? You seem so confident, but you're sharing with me. And this is an interesting conversation.
I am excellent at sharing. So that would be a good way for me to just sort of be honest. I would be worried that sometimes I would be too awkward in the beginning. Like, guys, I feel like a loser around strangers. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds off-putting.
To get out of that, you just ask questions.
Okay.
What do you have some nice holiday plans coming up? You know, the simpler, the better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Dumb, happy, and not too probing.
Right.
Yeah. And no politics.
Yeah. I've made that mistake before. Because sometimes I just assume everyone thinks the way I do, which is the dumbest thing to assume and will always blow up in your face. So I'll be like, bleeding heart, liberals, we're the best. And they're like, what? I'm conservative. And then I'm like, I have to go.
Well, sometimes, you know, you do find people who have different views, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the trick is to engage in a conversation, not come to blows or fisticuffs.
Right.
Because if you don't know the territory that you're going to start wandering through, traversing, you don't know that person, they could have a real hate on.
Yeah.
That you have no idea of, and you've just triggered a booby trap.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. Yep.
So you feel them out and you keep it simple.
Or a good way to break the ice is to make sure everyone sees you pick up your 4'11" producer and spin her around.
Yeah.
And once everyone sees that, they go, there's a fun guy.
She did not care for that, FYI.
Not at all.
No, she did not.
Not one bit.
What was that?
Ward spun our producer around at the Christmas party. I was already gone, but I heard about it after.
Yeah, but she's adorable. She's 4'11".
She is a tiny little cutie.
It was like picking
pants.
Up an ornament and showing it to people.
But she's a human being.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Evan's number one rule is treat human beings like human beings.
Yes, treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. How
like
unfamiliar
like
adorable, is that,
I'd like,
eh?
I'd like to be treated like an adorable little Mogwai.
Yeah, that's not nice.
I did the same thing in Victoria, and she loved it.
You asked about things not to do at the company party. Yep. Do we have, a couple of hours here? Or I mean, no, because this could go on into the night.
Time. We got some time.
Do you have some really time. Awesome examples?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Of what not to do?
Don't stir the punch bowl with your genitals.
Or along the same
theme.
I'm asking
for a friend.
Try and keep your friendly instincts intact, under control.
Right.
You may think that someone's been checking you out at the water cooler,
mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm.
But maybe they haven't, and this is not the time to go and test the waters.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. They may be with their partner.
Yeah. Right.
They may be having a relationship with one of your shared colleagues.
Right.
They may be involved with the boss. You just never know.
They may speak broken English and you don't understand Ukrainian.
It's getting really specific, Ward. I never actually really thought about that. Yeah.
And then turning the dance hall into a gym. Spinning, you know, managers, spinning fellow employees.
Right. Yeah.
But I used to love disco. And there is still some disco at some of the, you know,
sure.
Events.
You have that look about you.
But is the big hair? No doubt.
Yeah.
But You work up a sweat so fast.
Yeah.
You've had a couple of refreshments and, you know, a little something to eat. And before you know it, you're in a wet t-shirt contest against your will. It looks like you've walked through a car wash.
Yes.
And you're sweaty and you're just not good company.
Yeah. Nobody.
So don't overdo the dance floor. It's not a gym.
Yeah. Nobody at the company Christmas party wants to smell your sweat.
No.
Probably. Well, and it's not the time to find out. We learned right before this. It's not the time to find out if they do.
Well, there's a lot of entitlement that goes on at these events, you know, based on seniority. I'm not making general assumptions, but I've seen it. The boss can do whatever he or she wants.
Yeah.
And if she decides, he decides it's time for, what's that, chicken dance? Yeah, the chicken dance.
The chicken dance.
We're going to do some shirts and skins. And they can call it. They can call it.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear our boss say, okay, it's time for shirts and skins.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
What?
We are speaking to Evan Thompson, by the way. He is the founder and owner of Evan Thompson and Associates, which offers a customized approach to business development through training in personal branding, relationship development, and overall workplace culture modification.
Off the holiday topic for a minute, how many places are interested in changing their workplace culture?
12.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of them should be.
I'm guessing.
But are like, this is the way it is.
I think that's answered by the pain threshold. Is the company profitable? Are the employees coming and going?
Like right.
A turnstile at Walmart?
Right.
Or is there sort of a sense of calm and team spirit? Then if there is, great.
Right.
No need to change. You know, really don't change a thing. But if there is low sales, high turnover, then it's definitely time to change.
Right.
And it's time to get into a survey mode.
Sorry, we thought it was party mode.
Survey mode.
After the survey comes the party. When the results of the survey are acted upon and good results happen, everybody starts making more money. Everybody gets a bonus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that does sound good.
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring you in here.
No kidding.
I'd love to give myself a bonus.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do when you own the... What if your company needs...
Now, do you fail to give...
Culture change.
Like, what if Howard Stern signed on with you? Would you still give a bonus?
That's
why we didn't get one.
No, yes. If I hired Howard Stern, I would hire him as part of a business decision, a carefully considered business decision.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. How would this help my brand? How would it help my business? How would it help Evan Thompson and Associates?
Right.
It would bring... a lot of different views, and I would have to assess those based on my business goals. Take it right down to the business goals and how it would help or potentially jeopardize my business. That's a great question. Never thought of that.
He's on our minds today. He just resigned. So we're keeping him in the family.
Yeah.
But Howard Stern doesn't know we're in his family, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Do you ever periodically get someone who does what you do to go over your company with you? Sort of like a therapist having a therapist, you know what I mean? Like, do you ever get, because it's your company, you're like, am I too close to this? Do I need an outside perspective? Or everything
Absolutely.
Is good? Okay.
Absolutely. The reason for that is I've been in the business for so many years. I have a lot of really good, trusted relationships. Trusting relationships, and some of them are competitors.
Right.
And we do. We don't share clients, but we do share ideas because in our view, when we work together, the pie just gets bigger.
Yes.
We build awareness of advanced business etiquette.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's, I think
public speaking, et cetera.
I think there's a lot of people that could benefit from your services, but don't know such a service exists.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of people are self-taught. They learn on social media. When I say self-taught, one friend said, my late granny taught me everything that you could ever teach me. Like it's a no-brainer. But when you get in a room with prospects and people that you want to have trust you, that flies out the window.
Right.
Now, yeah. I heard somewhere that there is a widening gap when it comes to, or there is an actual lack of business etiquette and proper business communication nowadays because of the widening gap between the top of the company and the workers. Because if you look at it, it used to be that the average worker interacted with, say, a CEO on a regular basis, whereas nowadays the average worker will have almost no interaction because of the widening gap between the top tier in business and the average worker.
Absolutely. And I would attribute that to two things. The aging population, the bosses still tend to be, you know, of an older cohort, boomers.
Baby boomers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Baby boomers like myself.
Yeah.
And they're working with millennials who communicate differently. Mm-hmm. Millennials know their apps.
Yeah.
And boomers may not.
Right.
And boomers may believe that you earn your stripes in this business. Very typical in the law firms.
Right.
You work your tail off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've also heard that, you know, the boomers don't know how to communicate with the millennials, not just on a generational gap, but because of the money gap, because the widening income gap between the generations.
Absolutely. Things have changed. 2008, 2009, huge sea change in the way businesses operate. The senior echelons are retiring. They're thinking of getting out. They want their bonuses. They want their options intact. They don't want to start, you know, giving them away.
Right.
To retain groups who may move on really, really quickly.
Yeah.
So it's not a hit and run, but it's a real focus on their future, because the world going forward is not rosy for a lot of people who are leveraged.
Right.
In extreme debt and hold stock and options that may one day be worthless, depending on the industry you're in. And you know the industries I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, it doesn't make for great communication.
Absolutely.
And that makes me feel a bit sad.
Well, on a high note.
It makes you feel any better, they're eventually all going to die off.
Okay, well, I meant the lack of communication between the two groups, but...
I was talking to a millennial recently, recent graduate from an engineering school.
Right.
And she said, unlike her father, who's my age, I don't want to collect assets and cars. I want to collect experiences. So I'm limiting my time at this stop, at this gig, to maybe 5 years. And then I'm going to take what I've learned and go someplace else.
Yeah, sure. My father was with the same job for 40 years, same company, right? It's unheard of nowadays. And he was an engineer. And it's just something that's not heard of these days.
Certainly, certainly not.
But my father's generation, that's what you did. You were with a company, I mean, at least 20 years. You know, people stayed with companies decades. And nowadays, I mean, my wife works in advertising. And if you're with the same firm for 5 years, you better be a vice president or a director, you know, otherwise you just move. Someone else offers you more money and you move. PR firms, ad firms, communication companies. Whereas there was a time, especially the older side of the baby boomers, where it was, you know, you stayed with the company for a long time. And part of the allure of a company was growth within that company and was longevity. Right?
Absolutely. Now it seems that you're getting your exit package together well before you need it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Globalization, M&A activity, especially, you know, in the late 70s, the early 80s, when things were moving along, a lot of people were bought out.
Right.
Companies closed their doors.
Sorry.
Very, very scary for people who were raised to be tried and true employees and loyal.
Yeah.
Company men, they were called, and women, but really back in your dad's day, company men.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is M&A?
Mergers and acquisitions.
Oh, okay. I'm not in business.
Jargon. That's a good heads up to me. don't be using jargon when you're socializing, because you just get a stare.
Well, my first instinct was to pretend I knew what it was, and then I was like, no, I want to actually know what that is.
And then you're going to feel SOL PDQ, am I right?
Totally.
Yeah, it's interesting because the millennial, I think that they've grown up in a time where nothing is certain, where no business, there's no guaranteed lifetime work. And so I hear this a lot, the whole collecting of experience rather than worrying about, because they've just lived in a constantly changing world. Mm-hmm. Whereas for their parents and their grandparents, that was a very stable world. And the idea of just flying by the seat of your pants is horrifying.
What I find too is young people saying they want to make as much as they can as quickly as they can, because they see it all going away, you know, like people, you know, so where it used to be, I'm going to take this job and I'm going to work my way up the ladder. I'm going to get there, you know, a little bit at a time, get the raises, you know, but I'm going to have the longevity here. I have the job security here. Millennials don't see job security. They don't feel that any job, we said at the beginning of this show that we work in an industry with no job security. So it becomes about make as much money as quickly as you can. Because if this all goes away, then at least you'll have a little something to sit on or to fall back on while waiting for the next thing to come along. So it becomes about, get it now while you can, because it might not be there tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the millennials that I work with, I have millennial clients. I know people of my generation with millennial children. They're very resourceful. They're incredibly focused. They've been learning apps since they were in their bassinets as infants. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge leg up. They can solve problems so fast. They don't need to agonize going to the library, spending time. They can figure it out. Yeah. And they're very, very driven. They've learned this from their parents.
Yeah. We are speaking to Evan Thompson. He is the founder and owner of Evan Thompson and Associates. Where can people find out more online, Evan?
I'd invite them to visit my website at evanthompsonandassociates.com.
Sweet. It's great stuff. I find this kind of talk fascinating because it's what I don't like is when people dismiss millennials. I've never liked that. I see it all the time. And, we could talk a little bit about that. Let's take a break and talk a little bit about that. Can you hang out?
Of course.
Because it was a conversation I overheard the other day that was really annoying me. I get really tired of millennial bashing. Not because I'm necessarily Mr. Pro-Millennial. It's because I don't think people realize how cyclical that talk is.
Yeah.
You know what
We're
I mean?
Just old people now.
Yeah. And like,
relatively.
But depending on who you're... Listen, there's these kids that hang out in the alley by my apartment because that's where they smoke on their lunch break from school.
Right.
And they think I'm a loser. Like, they don't know that I'm super cool because they look at me and they go,
right. Oh,
you're an adult. Get out of here. You know?
Yeah. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that gap. And we are speaking to Evan Thompson. We are Ward and Al. You're listening to Channel 167 Canada Talks. Join the conversation on Twitter at Ward and Al, or send us an email, wardandal@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Sharon Caddy, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from What She Said and everyone at Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.
Rough around the edges, scruffy and masculine. And Ward is here too. This is Ward and Al.
All right, we're hanging out with Evan Thompson. He is the founder and owner of Evan Thompson and Associates. Offers a customized approach to business development through training in personal branding, relationship development, and overall workplace culture modification. We've been talking about personal branding. We've been talking about business etiquette, especially in terms of the holidays and holiday parties. And we were talking about the gap between boomers in business and millennials in business. And there was something that was bugging me. I was listening to it on the radio, two guys talking the other day, and I don't think people realize, I said I get tired of millennial bashing, and it's not necessarily because I'm pro-millennial, and I am, but it's not just some kind of thing about me that I, oh my God, I'm so into millennials. It's because I find that people don't realize how broken record that sounds and how cyclical that is, that they sound like our parents sounded and our grandparents sounded without actually doing any research on millennials. I get very tired of people constantly going, well, today's the millennials, today's generation is the most selfish generation there's ever been. And I go, there's zero evidence of that. Yeah. There's zero evidence of that. Yes, some people are selfish. Some adults are selfish. Some senior citizens are selfish. This idea that we branded one entire generation as the most selfish based on what?
Cell phones.
Yeah, based on cell phones or based on, you know, and I was listening to them talking, and I found what was hilarious is things are supposed to be better for young people. This idea when people go, oh my God, kids today have it so much easier than us. Yes. Mm. It's supposed to be that
way. Forward progress.
It's supposed to be that way. I couldn't imagine if we lived in a place where it wasn't better for kids today than it was when we grew up. It's supposed to be better.
Kids and people should still be getting polio. It makes you into the person you are. Like, what?
And I listened to this and I heard people saying, yeah, you know what? When I was a kid, we were driving down the road. If we misbehaved, we'd pull over and our mom right there on the side of the road would pull our pants off and smack us on the ass while cars were driving by. And I went, it's hilarious to me that this is the only thing when it comes to child rearing and development, that's the only place where progress is a bad thing.
Yeah.
We look at everything else as, oh my God, thank God we have cell phones and we have the internet and we have computers and we have cleaner air and we have better technology and we have less sexual harassment in the workplace. All of that is good. But you know what's bad? That we've evolved with parenting. We should get back to treating kids crappy and slapping them around. I find that the weirdest thing. And that we somehow fault kids for having things better than us when we had it better than our parents. Like, we're supposed to.
That's well said, Al.
Do the millennials need a branding overhaul?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do. I think, I mean, obviously it's just that technology has changed so much that this generation seems so much different to the other generations, right? But it's just, in reality, it's the world has changed. So communication has changed. Yeah, that kid looks at their phone all the time and barely talks to their parents, but it's not because they're self-involved or whatever. It's because communication's changed. Do we need someone like you to go out there and rebrand the millennials so that people know kids are still just kids? It's the world that's different.
We need to get the boomers and the millennials sitting at the same table in an atmosphere of mutual respect.
Ooh.
So they can tell their stories and they can win back their lost trust. And I firmly believe the trust has been squandered for a number of reasons.
That's very interesting.
Well, could it be that we all went to university for $1,000 a year? And now we saddle them with crippling student debt, then turn around and say they're lazy when they move back in with their parents because they're broke. I mean, this is what I mean. We set millennials up to fail, and then we point and bitch and moan about them when they fail. And this is the thing that bugs me. The only place where I can see millennials have it better than the boomers is technology. Technology is so advanced that they have, you know, computers in their palms at all times. I go, but the baby boomers were set up with a booming economy, the kind of economy where you could get a manufacturing job that doesn't exist anymore, support a family of four, have one car, and have a wife stay at home or spouse stay at home. One person could work. You could raise kids. You could do all this. That economy doesn't even exist anymore. And, you know, people went to university cheaper than they can possibly afford to go now,
yes.
You know, and got out with no student debt, had jobs that they stayed in for 40 years or whatever. And now that economy doesn't even exist anymore. We've handed that to millennials. We've handed them an economy that doesn't have those kinds of jobs, that doesn't have that kind of stability, with student loans that they can't possibly pay back, because we've made college something they have to do that we required everyone does. And then now they do it. There's no jobs from doing it. It costs too much to do. They get out saddled with debt. They're living at home again. They have no idea what they're going to do with their lives. And we look at them and call them lazy.
Do you know, I think the roots of this lie in the me generation. The me generation being the sort of the last waves of the boomers who wanted to acquire everything.
Yeah.
Worked like crazy.
Yeah.
To climb the corporate ladder when there was still a solid ladder to climb. Now it's pretty rickety.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all the rationalization and business closing. So the very young millennials, the children of these me boomers, were left as latchkey kids, where they would come home at night. They would make their own meals.
Mm-hmm.
They'd entertain themselves. They'd self-learn on their parents' computer, or they'd build their own. And they didn't have that bond. They didn't have the socialization and the learning skills to eat properly without being judgmental.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they became really self-sufficient. They went to the mall and they hung out with their friends and they developed a whole new code of behavior and conversation that is garbage. Too many boomers.
Yeah,
garbage.
That is so interesting.
That's a great way to
because
look at it,
I never thought about, I often think about sort of like the financial situation of then versus now and all that kind of stuff. But I never thought about sort of like, yeah, the social structure in the home of, you know, two parents working and yeah, acquiring the stuff. And the role, sort of the psychology of all of it plays on it. So that is such an interesting point to bring up. And before, when you said sort of the lack of trust that goes both ways, it's interesting because I always sort of feel of like the older generation mistrusting the youngest generation. But I never really thought about it kind of going the other way, which is almost ridiculous, because obviously there's going to be resentment going both ways.
Yes. Where were you when you were leaving keys for me and you forgot to leave the key in the milk box and there was 3 feet of snow on the ground and I didn't take my lunch to school?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Interesting.
Can breed a lot of resentment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's great.
So the young millennials find their own way. They become more resourceful. And now in the workplace, they're perceived by a lot of boomers as threatening. They're going to take
right.
their jobs. They are taking their jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients are half my age. I'm older than some of their parents.
Yeah.
And these are senior vice presidents.
Wow.
And real doers.
Well, and I think
my
also,
wife, we've talked about that. My wife is 31 and...
the breadwinner.
The
for all of us.
The breadwinner, but she's very successful in her job and is, I don't want to say self-taught, but so much of that is responsibility she took upon herself in the absence of serious tutelage and learned herself and moved up very quickly in her field because of that.
And isn't it like the more senior members of a company, especially if they're of an older generation, if a new kid comes in and is self-sufficient and doesn't have to ask questions and doesn't need to go to them all the time for guidance, resentment builds there too, because it's like this kid just walked in and thinks she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I follow the rules. He or she doesn't. They find a way to get around the boss.
Right.
When I'm still trying to negotiate my measly, you know, 2 weeks, why are they getting 3 weeks? How did they negotiate that? They negotiate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they get the packages and they get the bonuses up front because they've had to, in many cases, be self-sufficient. I'm not saying that every millennial has to rely on their wits and street cred and street smarts. A lot of them are really fortunate because of the good run in the financial markets over the years.
Right.
And they've inherited the family brokerage or the law firm.
Right.
But they're in the minus 0.5%. They're not even 1%ers. They're 0.5%ers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great. We've been speaking to Evan Thompson. He is the owner of Evan Thompson Associates, all about business development and personal branding, business etiquette. It's great stuff. But I like your attitude too about it. I like that it's not another person that says, well, you know, the millennials are lazy and they're navel gazers and.
That both sides,
yeah,
recognizing that both sides bear responsibility, right? Or both sides play a role in it. Because I think a lot of people want to go, it's the boomers' fault, it's the millennials' fault, it's the, and it's like, well, no, we're all in this life together. So yeah, the old people are gonna be, you know, judgy and be like, it's not like, it wasn't like this in my day. And the young people are going to be all snotty about it and be like, you don't understand me. And we all just have to come together.
Yeah, we can learn from one another.
Yeah.
And that's where mentoring is such a huge piece.
Yeah.
In the professions, in retail, in any business operation, passing the knowledge, sharing the knowledge, not only down, but up and across.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I find so invigorating about what I do.
That's great.
Now, we were talking earlier about, you know, do's and don'ts at the holiday parties. Do you have some more advice on navigating that tricky business scenario?
Just a couple of points. Avoid talking shop.
Okay.
To a colleague or to the boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not the time to talk about, you know, that promotion you were promised.
Oh, yeah.
Or don't I just want to run this idea by you.
Right.
You know, if maybe you're half in the bag or you're trying to be a host to 200 other employees.
Yeah.
So leave business at the door.
I think it's important, though, to give those examples of like, oh, I just want to run this idea by you. Because I think people feel like talking shop is just sort of generically talking about the business. Like, oh, we had a good day that other day or whatever. But it's those specific things like, listen, I wanted to pitch you this thing. And I know we're at the party. Like, that's when it gets embarrassing and unacceptable.
If it's self-serving, if there's a hint of advantage to you for promoting your own brand,
right,
you'll be shut down so fast, you won't even know it.
Yeah.
How about this? Okay, you're hanging at the party and the bosses are all around. Maybe it's bosses that you don't deal with on a regular basis. You only see them a few times a year, right? And you're like, hey, good year for all of us. Am I right?
That's a nice... Yeah. Cheery comment to make. There's no politics.
Yeah. Hey, how about next year we spend a little more marketing on the show that I host?
That was not good, right?
Right.
Don't do that one.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, let me tell you something. Great company to be with. Glad to be here another year.
Okay.
All right.
It sounded a little bit sarcastic, but other than that, if you say it in a nice voice.
Yeah, so that was good. No, I mean that. Like, so you say genuinely, hey, you know what? Thanks for another great year. Glad to be a company man.
Yeah, okay. The thought is there. The words aren't, but...
okay. All right.
Company man.
All right. What about, were to say, well, here's hoping that Stern resigns and we're all employed 8 months from now.
Okay, so that's negative.
Okay.
That's
right.
Negative. That one I could tell. Just from talking to Evan for the last,
45 minutes.
Almost an hour, I've picked up that one was bad.
Okay. But,
you know, on that theme of engaging the boss,
right?
There is everything right with thanking him or her for their hospitality.
Okay,
evening. It's great to be here. Thanks for your hospitality.
Okay.
And that's it.
Right. Yeah.
No more, you know, opining, no genuflecting, no curtsying, just Thanks.
Right. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. This is really a great time.
Right.
And then leave. What? And if they want to engage you, then, you know, if you feel the tap on your shoulder, just a sec. I want your input on something else.
Okay.
I thought you meant leave the party. I was okay, so I just have to go in and say that and then I can go?
No, leave the conversation graciously and say, have a nice evening, and that's it. Short and sweet.
Right.
All right. How about, it's a great time of year for us all. Great time to be working in this business.
See, it's your tone of voice right now, though, so I can't tell.
Okay, I'm trying to be genuine. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? Great time of year for everybody.
Okay.
Right. Or, you know, the Jews control all the media in this town anyway.
That's Mel Gibson.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's very Mel Gibson-esque. You shouldn't do that.
Well, because Lethal Weapon, Christmas time, I always skip the two.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened since Lethal Weapon came out.
Right.
Okay?
So
yeah,
Mel
Gibson, different personal brand on Mel Gibson now.
Right. Right?
Oh, yeah. Again.
Bad branding.
Not necessarily. If you know your audience.
If you...
And you're
like Kirk Cameron.
And you're...
No, he knows his audience.
And you're
crazy people.
You're tight with the person that you're speaking with. It could be your boss. It could be your CEO.
Okay. And if you are being recorded while being arrested and you make that comment.
Right.
Not.
Bad branding.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Let's say that one of the people that works for you is a millennial and you're trying to communicate with them. You walk up and you go, here, you got a nice app on you.
It's different. Choose different.
Because you're trying to talk their lingo, right?
Yeah. That's not.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice app you got there.
That's not how. No, don't.
No.
That could be misunderstood.
Why don't you just whip it out and let me look at it? Right?
I think the point is don't invite Ward to your holiday parties.
I'm trying to get a handle on this whole lingo that the millennials are into. You know, we may get some interns.
Not now. Oh. Yeah, you just wrecked that. So, all right. So we're not getting too drunk. We're polite. Thank you to the boss.
Don't ask the boss if he's on Tinder.
No, that is not. Yes. Don't ask inappropriate.
Especially don't ask him if he's on Grindr.
Oh, yeah. Don't try to get up on any of your coworkers or your boss.
Yep. Don't spin them around.
Don't spin them around. Right. Don't try to get in that business question at a social event.
Right. Now, none of this applies if you work with Todd Shapiro. We need to point that out right now.
No, that's true.
Like, if you're at a party with Todd Shapiro or Humble and Fred, all of this is okay that we just mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah, right. It's know your audience. Know your environment.
Know your audience.
Okay. And can you be yourself in that environment without going way outside your comfort zone? There's nothing wrong with feeling a little bit uncomfortable and putting it out there.
Right.
But if you have to assume that everything you say is going to be caught and run on social the next day, and there's no reset button, reset button, a photo, a little, you know, cozy shot of you with someone who is not your relation.
Real life is not Snapchat.
Yeah. That is right. You cannot just delete it.
No. Someone is going to screen grab real life.
We're almost out of time, Evan, but do you have any last thing you want to leave the listeners with to keep in mind, whether it's about holiday advice or just about being your best personal brand you can be?
Just have a wonderful time and be really comfortable with who you are and do a lot of listening.
Ooh, Ward, that's a one for you to work on.
Which part?
Like a lot of listening.
Oh, listening.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Listen more than you talk.
I was reading something just
now. Yeah, no.
I missed that part.
That was a good one. Mm. Right? You should maybe pay attention. Evan Thompson and Associates.com is the website. If you are listening in the Toronto area and want some help, or if you want to make a special trip to Toronto, right? Yes. We all need help. But you also have a blog on there too, so people can check out, people who even in the States could check out your blog and stuff and maybe pick up some good advice.
Absolutely. The portal is the website, and I'd invite any queries and comments.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And come back and join us. Please come back and hang out with us in the new year.
We clearly need a lot of help, especially with the etiquette part.
I think so. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
It was great. All right, Al. And what a great day.
I know. We did. We had a very fun day.
And the fun days continue. We got Fashion Santa coming in later this week.
Yeah. Oddly enough, Fashion Santa's been around for a while, but this year he's breaking the internet, which is so interesting.
And he's going to be with us.
Yeah.
All right. You guys know where to find us. WardenAl@gmail.com. Drop us a note. We'll see you tomorrow.
I miss you guys already.
You've been listening to Ward and Al exclusively on Canada Talks. Join them tomorrow live at 1 p.m. Eastern on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.